Blog Talk Radio.
Share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. And peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
All right, there you have it. You get an education just watching that now. My girl Naima be giving you those languages, and I know Nagada from Senegal, but I be like, ooh, Sabona. Oh, let me get that. So anyway, yep, welcome to Gathering of the Griots. You are here with my girl. Sometimes I talk about myself like a third person. With my girl, Asada, ready to roll with the Black Writers. That's what I do. Okay, I make sure that we get staged. So the topic today is dealing with, it's like truth be told, because that's what nonfiction writers do. They deal with the truth, okay? And sometimes that's a hard truth. Sometimes it's an inspirational truth. But we're going to get the truth today. And I've always actually been a nonfiction girl, like my whole vibe with what I read. I read nonfiction. Now that I'm in the book fair, I actually read a little fiction too, and the children's we survey, so I know what to refer to other parents. But I want to deal with, I wrote two books in life. My first book, yeah, you might see it later, maybe not, I'm not really sure. But Beating Black Kids is my first book, but my second book came out in, I'm getting this mixed up, but I think it was 2017, something like that. It was either 17 or 19, because I think it might be November 17th of 19, but whatever. Bitcoin for Black People came out, and it came out because these are names people call me. I've been called. I don't know if you know about King Mansa Musa. I don't know if you don't know about the brother. They say that this is the richest man that ever lived, more than Bezos or Gates or whoever. In his time, he was the richest man alive. The book goes into him and his empire and the type of wealth that he had. This is, like I said, wealth is not new. I think we just have to switch our frame of mind, because, see, we wasn't dealing with slavery at this time. That's what I want us to understand. Look, slavery is like a little baby, what is it, 400 years or something? So what? We ruled the world for thousands of years and did commerce for thousands of years. And so the book goes into, it starts off dealing with King Mansa Musa, who was the richest man alive, even to this day, okay? And you see what he got, right? Melanin, melanin, okay? So it's in the blood. Don't let it, don't get it twisted. It's not new to our people, okay? Now, we go into, what is this a picture of? These brothers look like they having tea and crumpets up in here, right? Well, the thing is, in Chicago, right, there was something called policy. And policy was what we know today as the lottery. But people ain't like us making all that money, okay? And we're talking about a time where it was the Great Depression. Now, usually you see pictures of the Great Depression in America, and you see everybody destitute and, you know, trying to make it go. But they wasn't showing them millionaires in Chicago. Now, go look that up. It's a brother, Nate. I don't know if it's Nate Williams, but he did a book called Policy Kings. And so make sure you go look for that so you could get some reality on wealth not being a stranger to us in this country. Okay, there goes some out. These are brothers in that life. And in this time, the ownership that we had was ridiculous, okay, when you talk about, look at them. They got no top hats now. They ain't got no tatted clothes. So wealth is not a stranger to us. Here's, this is also dealt with in the book. Wealth is no stranger. These are brothers from Ghana. Oh, boy, what they're holding in their hands, what you see on their ankles, that is not plastic. That is gold, okay? Gold, gold, gold. So much so, having it so much so, they just chilling like, what we doing? Like, you know how brothers be on the corner, like, but they don't be showing the affluence, though. They sitting there like, what we doing? At a ceremony. Gold crowns, gold anklets, gold amulets, like all kind of, let's get that clip. So to what other people might think, oh, the riches, we're treating like this is what we do. That's where the whole beauty and the wealth comes from in our culture. Now, you know about this, right? Black Wall Street, okay? And it talks about in the early decades of the 1900s, Durham acquired national recognition for entrepreneurship and dealing with businesses and ownership. Like, we used to own barrels of oil wells. So, you know, go do your research. But the book talks about these times with our people. Look at my girl from Ghana. Boo-boo. She said, let me put these gold all around my face. And let me sprinkle some gold dust. This is not glitter. This is gold that you got on the face, right? All right, cool. So our own banks and all of that. So the book starts off going into us needing to shift our viewpoint, because I want us to reclaim wealth, but in present day. And the only way we're going to reclaim wealth in present day is with crypto. I don't care what you say. Because the other money, even when it becomes a digital dollar, we're not going to own that. Others are going to own that. And if that's all you have, then a person will be able to say, oh, what you say? You don't like who, what? You think you're going to be a revolutionary? Let me shut that bank account down. Beep, beep. So, yeah, you want to have a different type of power and control over your money, okay? So there's something that I'm going to meet him now. If you're listening, I'm coming for you. Byron Allen is such a phenomenal person, and his level of wealth, we need to be clear on that, right? So he says black people, and I saw an interview with him on the Breakfast Club. If you did not see that interview, that's like the best interview I've ever seen in my entire life, the Breakfast Club. Look for Byron Allen, right? But he said black people, we need to stop looking to others to save us and speak for us. You need to save yourself and speak for yourself. Beep, 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 beep. Black people, there we go. I just want us to do what we do for us, right? We don't need other people. And, you know, we can work together, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, we need to take responsibility for ourselves. Time that I wrote this book, I was in a cryptocurrency company, and the brother who owned the companies, his name is, we call him Wall Street, right? But he said the reason folks are experiencing scarcity is because they are not open to new ideas. You have to expand your mind to create more, okay? So if you're not rolling with me in crypto, that is a choice. But if you just open your mind to new ideas about money, you're going to make it, and it's going to be very different than anything you've ever known, believe me. So what I want to do is help you understand that some things are in effect. Money is changing again, people, okay? Are you sad? You see these cowrie shells I got in my ears? They used to be money. And so money went from like cowrie shells to the paper we know, but now it's going to crypto. So that's all that's happening. There are people that lived in these different times. We just happen to live in the times now, okay? So money's changing. Don't be afraid of crypto. Just know that you're alive at the time that money is making a shift, all right? Now, Bitcoin. I want to go over coin because I keep saying it, right? So Bitcoin is a type of digital currency that uses state-of-the-art cryptography, I'm going to define it in a minute, and can be issued in any fractional denomination. So this is how I want you to think about it. You know yen is the money of China, right, and some other Asian countries. We know pesos belong to Mexico, right? Euro belongs to different European countries. So Bitcoin is a currency. It's a cryptocurrency. We're going to go over that in a minute. But Bitcoin can be owned by anybody, and you could get some today. You get $10 worth of Bitcoin and watch it grow. You can get $100 worth of Bitcoin and watch it grow. Please understand, people say, I don't want to do that. It crashed. Bitcoin used to be a penny a coin. Today, last week, we saw it go to over 70,000 a coin. When it was introduced to me, it was like $10 a coin. That was like in 2012. Check it. What if I would have bought 10 back then? That would have been, what? Okay, that's $10 a coin. That's $100. Coins would have been today 10 times 70,000, okay? And so Bitcoin's the big papa of all of the cryptos, all right? So I help black folks grow that. For anybody who want to be down with us, you know, ain't that. But the cryptocurrency, the crypt part, see, this money is encrypted. See, it says to convert information or data into a code, especially to prevent unauthorized access. If I want to steal your money from the bank, it ain't hard to do. Why? Because people do it all the time. It's easy to get in these systems that are connected to your social security number, your name, and all of that. But when you're dealing with cryptocurrency, things are encrypted, okay? And so that just means made secure digitally. Now, cryptography, we saw this word. Cryptography is simply the science or study of the techniques of secret writing, especially code and or cipher systems, methods, and the like. So it's the science behind it, guys. Cryptography is why this works, okay? Now, the word decentralized, I'm going to clear that up real quick, because decentralized means when something is dispersed. I'm going to see if I have a stronger definition there. Yeah, here we go. I want to give this definition. It says, in blockchain, which I'm going to define shortly, decentralization refers to the transfer of control and decision-making from a centralized entity, like an individual organization, to a distributed network. Okay, let me define all that. So basically, because this is why cryptocurrency is beautiful and works. We're used to somebody owning the money, serial numbers, Federal Reserve, blah, whatever, but it's not yours. And so that money is centralized. It's one person. In other countries, the government owns the money, right? So that's a centralized system. But when you're doing crypto, it's decentralized. Oh, no. Whoever owns the crypto owns the money. So you could own some too, $10 worth, whatever, okay? So decentralization is what cryptocurrency is about. You owning it, not owning it, not owning it, not owning it.
All right. All right. All right. Hold on a second. I'm already just saying. So,
centralized database system based on linking together previous records of secure blocks of information. God, what is that, Asada? So the blockchain just makes it so that you and I can send each other money without Western Union or a bank, Zelle, Cash App. No, because the blockchain is a digital system that allows for us to do peer-to-peer transactions. If I said, let me send you this $10,000 real quick, give me your address. All you got to do is give me the address of what I'm going to tell you about later, your digital wallet, and the blockchain allows us to just send it to each other in seconds, okay? Now, a digital wallet, what is that? It's an electronic device, a website, software system, or database that facilitates commercial transactions by storing a consumer's credit card, shipping address, and other payment data, okay? What I do, we don't deal with credit cards and cash, but I bet you I got about 3 or 4 digital wallets for different things. They deal with different coins and what have you. But if you're going to do crypto, you can't use the wallet your grandma gave you. It's a heirloom. It don't hold, it's digital. So you get a digital wallet, and at a different time, at some later date, I'll go through the actual wallets that help you understand which one to get, which one is safe, Asada. All right, cool. Now, the next one, a lot of people just don't know what you could do with crypto, right? But somebody, actually a few people, they sent me signs that they saw in front of car dealerships that said, we accept Bitcoin. When I went to Aruba, and I was on a beach, and I went to the stand to get, like, a water or something. On their register, it said, we accept Bitcoin. And that's because you could own Bitcoin while you're in China, while you're in India, Botswana. It doesn't matter. You can own Bitcoin, right? But you could purchase cars. You could purchase airline tickets. Like I said earlier, groceries, services. You can accept it in your own business. I'm telling you. If you accept Bitcoin in your own business, you're going to allow for people to pay you, but when they pay you, the only person that can see the transaction is you, nobody else. And so you can even give a sale because, see, what happens is when they pay you in Bitcoin, if they pay you $100 worth of Bitcoin, 2 weeks, that might grow to $500. So what they paid $100 for you turn into $500. And so when people can pay you in cryptocurrency, that's just a stronger thing because it will grow. It can grow, okay? And so it's a lot of different ways that you can make it grow, some different ways you can store it. Like I was saying earlier, you know, this whole the business of having it makes all the difference because you really have total control of the money that you're storing, okay? Now, what Bitcoin can do for our people, it's very important, guys. We can end poverty. Hold on, I'm going to just sit here for a minute. We could end this poverty game we're playing. That's somebody else's game for us, but it does not have to be our game. If you are black and you live near a city, you will see Bitcoin ATMs in the gas station, in some cash check places, some currency exchange places, you'll see a Bitcoin ATM. And those Bitcoin ATMs have been in the black community for decades, actually, over 10 years. But do you know why, though? It's because we have a sector of the black community that has been using cryptocurrency and Bitcoin for decades. And it's them young brothers in the street, okay? It started off with people using it on what was called the black market. Who made it that? Black ain't back. Anyway, but they were doing their stuff in the street using Bitcoin because nobody can trace it. But now we have legitimate great ways for people to grow cryptocurrency, but it's still transacted in the black community. So you see them all over. And so when you need to take your $100 and go and get some Bitcoin, you can use one of those ATMs, but you don't really want to use them because they have a very high rate, like an interest rate. So it might be like 11% that you're going to pay on top of getting your $100. So, of course, it's going to be less. But today, see, the world is moving so fast with it. You could get it from Cash App, baby. You could get Bitcoin from Cash App. Actually, I have people buy it from a Cash App because it's only 1.75%. And so, great, you buy it there, but then you transfer it to your digital wallet. And it's real, y'all. It works. So we can end poverty if we get into crypto and stop being scary Barry with our $5 a month. I don't want to do that. What? Take your $11. I'll show you how to take $11 and grow you some crypto. I'll show you how to do it. We can fund community programs if we have crypto. We can create our own college funds if we have crypto, like they was doing when we had policy, right? We can pay livable salaries to our own skilled workers if we have crypto, all right? We can improve the quality of our schools if we have cryptocurrency. We can pay for our own health care. What? You ain't got no health care. Well, you sure got crypto. If you got it, use it. My daughter said at one point, we made a lot of crypto at one point, and she was not really paying attention because mommy got her, you know, doing it. But she was like, mommy, I need a computer. I need a new computer, Mac, whatever. I said, girl, you got crypto? Go get it. And she was like, oh. And she went and got her computer. $2,500, whatever she got. Good. And we could also buy property in our neighborhoods, gentrify our own community if we have crypto. Okay, people doing real estate deals in crypto. That's a real thing. So I want us to just think through the poverty. Think through not having enough money for things and open your mind to something new. Stop being comfortable with scarcity. Oh, look at this. Crypto wealth ain't no stranger to these people. Boop, 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 boop. They got some quick look, the brother Akon that's right above Serena, he even have a crypto called Akoin in Senegal and building a city that will function on that crypto. Okay, there are, Bitcoin is only one type of coin, guys. It's over 3,000 of them, okay? I grow Bitcoin and I grow BNB. That's what I do, all right? BNB is the fourth largest of the cryptos, but I help us learn how to grow it because, come on, we need another stream of income that has nothing to do with nobody but us. Nobody has a right. Nobody should be taking our money just because they set up a system. And if you want to live more independently, if you're a revolutionary out there and you don't have crypto, I don't know if you're a revolutionary because I don't know what you're revolving. I don't know. But if you got crypto, you can make some big moves, okay? So basically, if you have questions for me about crypto, I want you to call this number at the bottom of the screen, 727-731-5192, and I need to see if I got a call. I sure wouldn't know. But, yeah, there we go. If you want to ask me any questions, 727-731-5192, you can call. Or if you have a question, you're not really clear, you can definitely type your message underneath this broadcast, which is live right now on our YouTube page, Annette Soulful Chicago Book Fair, or on my page, Avada Kirkland, on Facebook, and also our Soulful Chicago Book Fair page on Facebook. So, look, I can't tell you what to do, right? I can't tell you what to do. But I can advise you to broaden your scope and to make cryptocurrency a part of your life. I did write the book. You can go to bitcoinforblackpeople.com. Here you go, at the bottom, bitcoinforblackpeople.com. Yep. And purchase the book if you want. If you know me personally, I'll bring it to you, whatever. But, yep, I am the author of Bitcoin for Black People with my girl, Diana Beasley. And, you know, you got some of us that are in a world that controls something different in a different way. See what it feels like to have power for a change, okay? But we're going to play a message and come right back after these messages and talk a little bit more about some beautiful nonfiction things that we feature at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. Take a look and see you in a minute.
And
all right, guys.
148 for Miss Attorney Wendy Williams. Dear residents of Chicago, Cook County, with great excitement I announce that I am your candidate for full circuit Cook County Judge for this Democratic primary, March 19th, 2024. As a seasoned lawyer, I am a proud native of Chicago, Cook County, a product of Longwood Academy of Our Lady, Olive Harvey Chicago City College, Roosevelt University, and the University of Denver College of Law. With over 25 years of experience in criminal and civil matters, that equips me to handle the challenges that come with the role of full circuit Cook County judge. I am dedicated to ensuring that as a judge, all individuals are treated with fairness and consideration. Many community members and colleagues who trust my legal insight and intuition have recommended me for legal work and recruited me for pro bono work and community service programs. They know I listen. Humbly and respectfully, I ask for your support. Thank you. Now share with neighbors, family, and friends. Punch 148. Elect Democratic candidate Ms. Wendy Williams for judge, March 19th, 2024. paid for by Wendy Williams for Judge. I am Wendy Williams, and I approve of this message.
All right, guys. You heard it. Wendy Williams. When you get to that ballot, you make it happen. So now we got to tell you about our next event, and then we're going to move on to our next guest. We are going to be together at the Betty Shabazz Academy on April 20th. If you do not have your calendar out, get it out right now, because on April 20th, we are going to be doing our Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair. That is right, Spring Fling Book Fair. Let me tell you right now, people are excited. They're flying in from New York. Actually, the authors that you see today are going to be at that event, even from New York. But there's going to be book signing, multi-genre books. We're talking about over 100 titles, an art party, all kind of entertainment. Look, check it. You're going to hear the voice of this sister right here, what? Sherry Soul, the vocalist. And I want to shout out our sponsor, the CEO Superheroes. They're always supportive, always involved, and those young people are sharp. We're actually going to share their podcast. They're learning how to podcast from myself and Naima Latif and Zelda Robinson from this lovely Female Solution crew, how to do podcasting, and we're going to show you their work at this book fair. And so I am just delighted. But put that on your calendar, y'all. That's the Betty Shabazz Academy, 7823 South Ellis, 7823 South Ellis. That's April 20th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come and be a part of our literary loveliness, all right? And so back to the Gathering of the Creole Show. Hi, if you're just tuning in. This is the day where we deal with all kind of powerful, soulful Chicago's business. We do the business, but it's soulful Chicago way, all right? And so we talked a little bit about, in the first half hour, my book, Bitcoin for Black People, cryptocurrency. Look, if you're scared of it, don't be scared of it. Just come along and make it a part of your life, all right? And so we're going to be dealing with other nonfiction authors today that deal with a variety of different issues, okay? And I'm happy about that, because who else bigs up writers? I don't really know. You see a lot of money going to dance. You see a lot of money going to fine arts, attention, galleries, what have you. The celebration of Black writers, don't really see it too much. And so creating the Soulful Chicago Book Fair was important. So while we get ready for them to come, let's get a little sense of what you can expect when you see the Soulful Chicago Book Fair come to light. Let's take a look at that.
Soulful Chicago Book Fairs are the most exciting Black book fairs on the planet. Born in July of 2016, Soulful Chicago Book Fairs have both increased the literary marketplace for Black writers and given lovers of Black literature places to find books about the Black experience the world over. The main summer book fair stretches four city blocks on 61st Street between Cottage Grove and King Drive. Each block is characterized by its own genre, donning the works of fiction authors, nonfiction authors, and children's authors. The day begins with the procession of elders at Topic Post, demonstrating the book fair's honoring of community elders. Oh. audiences traveled to its Grammy-level stage, which has featured musical artists such as Eric Robinson. And many of Chicago's multicultural towns. The Book Fair's community stage sits equidistant from either end and showcases puppet shows, open mic sessions, and author talks for festival goers to enjoy. Aspiring authors have enjoyed the SoFo Chicago Book Fair's lineup of helpful workshops on publishing, writing for children, and legality of the publishing industry and more. From its exhibitors to its entertainment, its workshops to overall power, the SoFo Chicago Book Fair will continue to bring a literary life and prosperity into the south side of Chicago for decades.
All right, there you have it. That's the SoFo Chicago Book Fair energy. Don't get it twisted. So exciting. I mean, I'm always dancing. I'll be so tired, but I'll be dancing because it's like a party for me, a big book party. So we're going to party on more today, but I'm going to bring on an author right now. You know I love the brothers. I love when brothers write because they are the bomb. And I like the way brothers think. And so we're going to bring on a guest. This is an author that I like when you see brothers inspire. And this is a brother that actually wrote books to inspire others. And so I'm going to help him out. I'm going to bring him to the stage because he did me a favor. I said, come on now, please. Come on. Brother William Daniels. How are you, brother?
Hello, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Look, whoop. Look, he was on his toes. He was like, where that link? Did you send me something? I said, it's coming. Here I come. So anyway, thank you for being on the show today, and thank you for choosing to be at the SoFo Chicago Book Fair April 20th. And so how did you find out about the book fair? How did you even find out? When, why?
Well, basically, after I had written my book, I began to look at ways of getting my book out to the public because I really believe it was a vital asset that people can push their lives to the next level. And so I was just looking up book fairs and different things, and the SoFo Chicago Book Fair came up, and I said, okay, I still got time to be a part of it. So that's when I reached out. You know, I did some homework.
Good.
So I checked some things out, and so I was like, okay, yes, I have to be a part of this.
Nice.
To be a blessing and bring value to people.
That's what I'm talking about. Look, I just found out recently because I SEO optimization, search engine optimization, I used to be like, okay, whatever. But somebody schooled me on it recently, how important it is, and I build websites. So I do it a little bit, but now I'm going to do it a lot of it. But she said, when I put in Chicago Book Fair, you're the first thing that comes up. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm so happy. Because that's important. You know, even some of the people that have been out here a long time, come up before, then that's great. So she said, you don't even know what you're doing, and you're doing it well. So I'm glad you're part of the family now. And you mine now. I get to promote you. That's what we're talking about. So now, are you?
I'm not going nowhere.
Right. So now, are you from Chicago, or are you from somewhere else, or where are you from?
Born and raised in Chicago. I'm a Chicago kid through and through. I was born on the west side, moved to the suburbs, now back in the city.
Okay.
Just trying to be a blessing to my community and my people.
Let's talk about that. Look, and it's so funny because when you say trying to be an asset to our people, guess what you could do after that? Put a period. You know, everybody's going to benefit if they want to. But sometimes I try to tell authors, other people are cool, but they don't necessarily look to us for their guidance. So you don't necessarily have to make sure they feel comfortable or feel like they're included. You're included, obviously. You can look at our history. But we do give attention to our people because we do need inspiration. So talk to us about your books. You can choose which one you want first. But, yeah, talk about your intention. Go ahead on.
Okay. Well, one of the first books that I read was Understanding, if I can hold this up, was Understanding the Process of Your Steps.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I realized the scripture tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way.
Mm-hmm.
But I discovered that we are not always happy when we have to follow a particular path.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a purpose to fulfill, we are happy for the purpose, but yet we don't understand the journey that it would take us on.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand that sometimes in life we are going to encounter detours. And when we encounter detours, you have to be willing to go through the process of the detour. Because some detours, as in with construction, are geared to keep you safe. If you ever travel on the Chicagoland expressways, you know for a fact that now is construction season. And 294 is tore up, 94 is about to be torn up. So now you have to follow the detours. You have to follow the construction cars. And if you don't follow the detours that that life will present sometimes, it will hurt you. So you have to be willing to follow the detours. So that's why it's important for you to understand that God is ordering your steps. And we're going to fuss and we're going to complain about it. And we may not like it, but the process of detour is to develop. The process of detours is to cultivate. The process of detours is to keep us out of harm's way. So we have to be willing to submit to the detours. Now, for the record, there are some detours that will hurt you. There will some detours that will take you out. And you have to be willing to tell the difference and do a self-inventory, self-evaluation of the people, places, and things that are connected to you. The second book that I wrote was The Calling. The Calling. The Calling is when Jesus said, when he called his disciples, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so that book is for those that may feel that they have a call on their life, and they don't know the process of fulfilling that call. You may look at yourself and say, "Who am I? I've been involved in this. I've been involved in that. I have hats on. I have piercings. How can I be used to help people?" And a lot of times in our communities especially, we will get bogged down with guilt. We will get bogged down with shame that we don't believe that we can be used. We don't believe that we can bring value to people. So the calling is a process, is a framework, if you will, of how God will use you when you are, how you are, to a greater knowledge of him. And I believe this is going to be one of my signature books. The one that I'm on here for is Mastering Your Growth, Mastering Your Elevation. And this book is so important because in order to master your growth, you have to be willing to be a participant in things that disappointed you, people that did you wrong. You have to be willing to look at your own self and like yourself and love yourself so you can move forward. Because if you cannot look in the mirror and like who you are, can't look in the mirror and love who you are, then you will be stagnated. And now you're stagnated, now you're frustrated. And when you're frustrated, now you're discontented. And now you begin to look at everybody else around you doing great things, doing awesome things like yourself, and you'll be able, and you will be like, that should be me. But you can do it. It's all inside. So those are some of the books that I have that I will be presenting.
Now, look, y'all, look now. Now.
I'm in trouble.
Oh, you ain't in trouble, baby. I'm about to get you a little throne. Like, look, I don't have to say a word because, you know, I'm usually all positive and this and that. Boop, 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 boop. Look where I'm pointing. Boop, 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 boop. So where in the world did this come from, like, in terms of your clarity to say these things? Because everything you're saying, people say it, but usually women be saying whatever they want. I'm a coach, isn't it? But where did this come from? How did you get this clarity to say these messages so that people, because I thought everything you said was very clear. It wasn't like ultra intellectual. Nope. It was real clear, and I heard a sliver of spirituality in it. So where did this come from? How did you get to writing these books in this way?
First and foremost, the origin of the story is the process of the story.
Mm.
Because every book or everything I talked about, I lived it. One thing I begin to understand, there are multiple levels of intellect, multiple levels of education.
Mm-hmm.
Some education is not just in book form. It's important because you need structural learning. You need structural it's like a building. You need structural integrity. However, there are certain things that you learn when you just go through the process.
Mm.
Because everybody has a level of education on the inside of them. They just need to bring it out. Every experience that I have been through, when it's dealing with the process of yourself, I had to go through that. When I was directed to quit my job and to get my CDL license, I had to go through that process that God took me through. So the origins of these stories, of these books, is because I lived it, and I'm giving tools and strategies. I'm giving insight on how you, as the reader, as a person, as a group, when you are facing similar situations, but believe it or not, we all facing the similar, I'm sorry, we all facing a very similar situation. There may be some things that may be different, but we all can glean from the journey that somebody else went on. Because if I'm telling you, the bridge is out if you go that way. The bridge is out. And hopefully you'll be able to take that and say, I can see the bridge is out before I get there. So let me go the other way. So I have to live. That's why I can write. That's why I can talk about it, because I live.
That's what I could hear. I was like, okay, he done been through some things. Because,
yeah.
And see, when we write books, first of all, and particularly when you write nonfiction books, there's a vulnerability that can be there sometimes because you're getting ready to reveal some things that you went through. But I'll be telling people, it ain't about you. This ain't about you. This about the people you got to impact.
Yeah.
The thousands, the worldwide, is so bigger than you. The creator just put you here so that you can execute the story. You don't see that your hardship is part of the game, that you're choosing to play now. If you out there smoking and doing whatever you're doing, or you, that's your game you're playing. And so if you want out of a situation, you got to play a new game. And so I see you like this going like to that, yes. Like when I said that, you was like this. Mm. So go ahead. What was that about? Wait. Mm. What was that?
Well, a lot of journeys that we sign up for, you don't know what's on the path.
Mm.
Cosign, we don't know what, we really don't understand what we are cosigning, what we are agreeing to. People, places, and things that we connect ourselves to will shape us, will mold us either positively or negatively. And when you don't know and understand who you are, when you don't understand your calling, your purpose, why you are here, then you will connect yourself to people, places, and things that do not have your best interest in heart.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. It feels good. Oh, yeah. Man, it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really good for you? Is it for you to have? Because a lot of things we touch, we are free to do anything we want to do. But some of the choices that we make, and we connect ourselves to some things that is hard to get out, and we don't realize that until after the fact. That's why when I wrote the book, Master Your Growth, Master Your Elevation, you have to be willing to look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what growth is. Growth is looking at yourself. We as a people, we have to look at ourselves. There are so many tears. You were talking about earlier finances, and I'm a believer in cryptocurrency as well.
We're going to talk later.
Mm-hmm. I'm a believer in cryptocurrency as well. And there are so many levels and stages and tiers of the economic system. I was talking to a friend, and I said, do you know that the streets came up? If the streets can come up to another level, why can't we? Those that are not in the streets. Because YouTube and the digital age has made it easy to start a YouTube channel, to have different conversations about what's going on, and get paid. So the streets are getting paid. But yet, we are walking in fear about currency. The currency is supposed to flow. I know I'm maybe a little off, but I'm right in the pocket.
You good, baby. You good. Mm-hmm.
Currency flows. And when we don't let currency operate in the current, then our money stops. So that's when I began to educate myself on different stocks, bonds, precious metals, because I wanted to be versatile in my knowledge base of finances, and I wanted to make better financial decisions,
mm-hmm.
which goes back to master your growth and to master your elevation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting information and going through the process of learning. When you was gathering information on Bitcoin, you didn't know everything when you started the journey.
Right.
But yes, you saw something. And you said, okay, let me investigate. What is that? Best way I discovered the process of cryptocurrencies, and believe me, I'm not saying I'm an expert. I know what I know for me,
mm-hmm.
so I can make sound decisions,
mm-hmm.
is I had to, because Bitcoin has such a big price point,
right.
or entry point,
mm-hmm.
I said, well, no, I can't do with Bitcoin, but I began to find other crypto avenues that,
mm-hmm.
that I can get into.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got into it and I began to see things happen, I was like, oh, now I'm going to tell you something about that crypto now. It's going to, when you get in crypto, boy, shoes on, because you're going to do a little ride now.
You're going to do a little ride, baby, like the Bronco.
Boo. You know, you're going to be mad. You're going to be upset. And I had to realize about crypto. It's like, I cannot sit and watch this thing all day. I got to work.
I know.
I need some production out of me. Yeah. And I was over here. I had a Ethereum Classic, and it started going up. I'm supposed to be working. I'm looking at this. I'm getting beep, beep. I'm getting all type of alarms and alerts. But again, there's so many ways that we can tap into that if the rappers and the gangsters and all the streets can come up to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Because capitalism is just capitalizing on a system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if somebody else can capitalize because of capitalism, what is my problem? And I may be just your average citizen. Why can't I capitalize?
That's it.
But we can't be afraid. I'm sorry.
That's all right, baby. Look. He's going to get on a preacher mode today, baby. Doop, doop, doop. But I do want to say, because we have other authors we're going to feature today, I want to say thank you, brother, for coming on. We actually going to talk after this now. I might call you soon as I get off. Be like, wait a minute.
Okay.
But I do want to thank you because your book.
I'll be available.
Yeah, what is your website? Do you have a website? Or where can I get your books?
You can go to williamedaniels.com and all my books on the website. I also have a Facebook page of William E. Daniels Podcast.
Now, is it WilliamEDaniels.com?
Yes, WilliamEDaniels.com. That's the website. And you can join. You can be a part of the family. And also, there you go. That's it right there. And you can also go to my podcast page, William E. Daniels Podcast.
All right.
And I do some teachings, some videos, and yes.
Okay.
I want to be a blessing. I
want to
have you on.
Look. Boop, 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 and he's going to be at the Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair. There's his website. Thank you so much, Brother William. We
thank
about
you.
To build from here, baby. You mine now.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
thank
so
you
much. All right. Peace.
All
thank
right, you.
Bless. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all playing games. Look, we got the dope people now. We got the dope people. Y'all get that website, William E. Daniels. .com. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are coming to another author. She in my vibe. She got my same vibe. She talk about what? Ain't no manual for no kids. Her name is Anissa Hunter. We're going to be right back after these messages. Y'all stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, and if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy it. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
All right, we are back at Gathering of the Griots. We got a call. I'm going to take them real quick, see what the vibe is, because it might be about the previous brother, William Daniels. That call is 334-895. You are live. What's up? Talk to us. You're on the Gathering of the Griots.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Giving honor to Mother God and Father God. Good morning, my beautiful sister, Asada. How are you?
I'm just loving life as usual, making it go right, getting these black writers their stage and their flowers. That's what we're doing.
Amen. Amen to that. Because I have a question for you, because the brother came in his connection wasn't as good, so I missed some of his stuff, but I heard some of the good things and interesting things Brother William was saying, Brother Daniels was saying, and listening to you talk about the different currencies and different systems, it makes me want to up my game in that area, too, and learn more about them, and 'cause knowledge is power. But I have a question
yep.
for you. What seems, because we're talking about black people, what seems to be the problem that other people, other races, Indians from India, people from all other countries, can come here and assimilate to our system, because it's ours, because we built America. You know, black folks, the slaves, built America.
Mm-hmm.
They did all
no
the
question.
Hard work. And invented most of the, I mean, the architecture of Washington, all the other stuff was mainly black
mm-hmm.
folks. History just doesn't show that. But so why is it that we tend to be last in all the dysfunctional category? Because when my Indian brothers and sisters ask me, y'all black people supposed to be the most spiritual, why can't y'all get along? And why can't y'all do business?
Mm-hmm.
Why we don't have no business? Why they have to come over here and put businesses in our community? Why can they assimilate and work within our system and come up in
yeah.
our communities?
Yeah.
And we see them come up. We watch them come up. Why can't we? What's our problem? What's the black people's problem? Can you answer that for me, sir?
Oh.
Can you deal with
that
question for me just for a minute?
Oh, yeah. Look,
help me out. Why
can't
we solve it?
Well, here's the thing. We are the only people who came to America. We're not talking about when we ran the world, but we're the only ones that came to America without voluntarily doing so. So when other people come to America, they come to prosper, the land of the free. But we ain't had that liberty once slavery started, even though we was already over here, but that's another show. But it's a mind, like a Jedi mind trick, where you make people hate themselves. You could go read the Willie Lynch letter or whatever you want to do. But black people, all we got to do is love ourselves because, and that's easier said than done, but all we got to do is love ourselves and do things for ourselves unapologetically, and we will see a change. It's like what you bring into the table, because if I was another race, you could make millions just off of black people's self-sabotage. You could sell hair, you could sell bad food, you could sell drugs, and that's what you gonna make money, because that's what people who don't love themselves do. They do those things. But here's the thing: if we just start to love ourselves and really think about what we have to do unapologetically, not dealing with others. I'm a Scientologist, and one of the things that L. Ron Hubbard wrote is this thing called Message to Black People, and the first line says, completely aside from what it means to whites, you can use this technology. It can give you a great chance. He says to use it for your own people. Ain't nothing wrong with doing stuff for ourselves, and so we have to work on the trust stuff and push it to the side, love our children, start to be enduring, like show endearment to each other, and then we'll see a change, and that's basically it. But that's another show. I got to bring on these authors, but thank you for calling, brother. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. I always enjoy listening and learning. I try to listen and learn. This is Brother Neil. I try to listen and learn and keep my
thank
game
you.
Up and keep my game strong. And God bless you. You
game
have a lovely
up.
Week.
That's what I love.
And
thank
good.
You. All right, Brother. Peace.
Thank you.
So, y'all, I'm about to bring on our next author. She on the ball all week. She be like, boop, checking in. I did this. Boop. I opened up an opportunity for us to be in a store. Boop. She the first author. I love people like that. I'm bringing on my girl, Anissa Hunter. How are you, darling?
Hi. Good morning. How are you today?
Girl, I'm loving life and loving you, and I'm proud you are here with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Y'all, check out her title. She's going to say, kids don't come with a manual. Now,
yes.
Talk about it, Mama. Talk about that, because I tell, it's like this. You wrote your book, and my first book is called Beating Black Kids, so I'll be telling them now, oh, now they do come with manuals. Our book. But go ahead, tell us where that come from. Tell us where you're from, first of all. Where you from and all that good stuff.
Hi, I'm Anissa Hunter. Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, Inglewood, and then I was on the west side of Chicago for about 20 years before I moved back south.
Okay.
My book, Kids Don't Come with a Manual. So I have three daughters. They're all grown now. But I decided to write the book to just tell the truth about raising kids. It's not always peaches and cutting. And the crazy thing is, I didn't, you know, of course, realize it until I had kids and had to raise them, that it's crazy how you have kids grow up in the same house, same parenting and everything, and they can be so different, you know, and it's the truth. They don't come with the manual. So it's just, you go through experiences as you're raising your kids, and that's the reason why I decided to write the book as a, it's just a manual to parents as they're raising their kids.
That's what I'm talking about. Look, see, people, because I deal with no corporal punishment and don't spank kids and all of that, people think that my thing is for children, but I'm really a parenting strategist. That's the real deal. Like
yes.
what you're saying, like the children are a reflection of us.
Yeah.
And our control or lack of control. Because control, God, I think we get it a little twisted sometimes, like because we were controlled by our parents and we watched it work a certain way and go get me the switch or whatever we're talking about.
Yeah.
My thing is, what are we doing for the future? What are we creating? Because I know we were young too and we remember those days when we had to get the switch. Talk a little bit about your main message for parents. Like, what would you say your intention was when you wrote this? What did you want to see?
Growth, as you stated. We definitely have to do things different because, you know, everything works differently for different kids. But one of my main things that I wanted to establish with my kids was building that relationship early with them and talking to them. You know, everything, I feel like as a parent, it shouldn't be about do what I say without explanation. You know, you really have to treat your kids like they're human beings. You know, have those discussions with them. You know, it used to be once a week when me and my daughters, we would sit down and we would talk about, we would just go back over the week. You know, what were some good things, what were some not so good. You know, and they would even tell me, you know, things about me that I did or said that they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it made me a better parent. You know, I don't do that whole thing is I don't listen to my kids. I don't want to get your input because we would like to think that we're the world's greatest parents, but sometimes we really need to listen to our kids and understand them and where they're coming from. And I think for me, that makes you a better parent.
See there?
Conversations
like,
with them.
See that right there? I wrote something called the Parental Code of Ethics.
Mm-hmm.
That gives parents things to do. Because one of the things you say to them, when you're trying to give them the right message, like what you're saying, they'd be like, well, what do you want me to do? How you, know, oh, that's what my mother did. I turned out fine. And I'd be like, look. I'd be like, that's what you aiming for? Fine? Like average? Yeah.
Right.
You're not aiming right. for excellent. You said, oh, no, I mean excellent. I said, you didn't say that. Don't be trying to
right.
say it now, you know. But this whole, we do need guidance. We do need a manual because we keep bumping our heads up against the wall, but check it. Also, they only stay children for a fraction of their life.
Absolutely.
And so you don't have a lot of time. They know they're going to be, they know who they're going to be, and you can know what they're going to be just by the age of two. Just watch them.
Yeah.
And if we have just a lot of confusion about the process of parenting, like you said, yo, when you communicate with your children, it changes their worldview. It changes their trust level for you. My daughter was on the show because my daughter has a book. She's 20 as well. She's a young adult. And the question came up. I don't feel like I even asked it. I can't even remember who asked the question. But they asked her about, like, the highlight of her being raised, and she said, my mom treated me like a human being.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Absolutely.
Exactly what you said. And so how long has your book been out, and how, who do you feel your main audience ends up being?
It's been out for a year and a half now. And I think it seems like to me the main audience are women. I would say probably from the age of maybe like 18 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because sometimes I'll see like older women or women my age, and, you know, they'll say, oh, I don't need help with parenting. You know, I don't need any help. I get it. I'll give did it for my grandkids, stopped me from my kids to raise my grandkids, you know, because they don't know what they're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's kind of funny to me because we all need assistance and help, you know, in areas. So I don't think there's no such thing as, you know, I don't need help.
Absolutely.
You know, we all need help in everything. That's the reason why mentors have mentors,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. And you're dealing with a situation. It's so funny because, you know, people with their children did one thing, but when they have grandchildren, I'm finding that they're a little more patient because
yes.
they've learned more, right? So they act yes. a little better. And when the children, which are the parents of the little ones, see how they're being treated, a lot of times say to the parent, you would have kicked my butt if that was me.
Right.
If you didn't do that with me, you didn't talk to me, you know, and it's yourself and myself. You know how some people say, I'm not trying to tell you how to parent. Yes, we are, actually.
Right.
Yes, we are. We are trying to help you learn how to parent. Because it is it's one of the areas that we haven't mastered well. And your book is so important because we need to master it well. If you need children that's going to go up against these big dogs that are trying to eliminate us, they're going to have the skills. But if they come home to confusion and they come home and they can't even talk to the person who brought them in the world because they're afraid of you, then you're doing that, you know. So what did you say how long your book's been out?
A year and a half.
Okay, a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And so recently, look, she and our family, right, once you be coming into the event, you and our family, it's a wrap.
I know, that's right.
We jamming. Shut up. So basically, recently, they wanted to, the Sensei Boba Tea Bar here in South Shore, they want to have
Robert Floyd.
And so, good. Anissa, boop, she said, I'll be there tomorrow. Boop, boop, boop. Now, tell us what happened when you got to the store, girl, to just bring your book for sale. What happened?
Yeah, somebody bought two books on the spot. It was a young lady that came in. She said it was her first time in the tea bar.
Mm.
And she was like, oh, my God, this book is perfect because her daughter was having a baby and she was making a gift basket for the baby shower.
Mm,
and she, you know, scanned through the book and then she put it in there. She said, you know what, wait a minute. My son's gonna need this book. Mm. So she gotta put my son too. So I thought that was awesome.
Yo, check it out, y'all. The thing about it is this. First of all, let's look at it real quick. I gotta look at it. Look, check this out. Look, oh look, we don't want this to look at it. Right. So I would love to see that in the basket. It is a beautiful cover. Whoever did the art, kudos to them. Who did the art for your cover?
My publishing company, Chocolate Show.
Okay, cool. So it's a beautiful book. It looks well done. And the subject matter, did y'all hear that? Somebody is having a baby. And
yes.
So the lady saw the necessity of getting the book for that because what? The training is needed. I was coming home one day, and UPS truck in front of the door. And so the dude that was getting out the back, he said, excuse me, are you the woman who wrote Beating Black Kids? And I was like, yeah, what's up? He said, because I give my book out sometimes when I'm on the street and I see stuff, and I see they're getting ready to infringe on the parenting, good parenting. So he said, your book actually made me a better father. He said,
wow.
"He said it was right. You gave me that book right before my wife had her baby or whatever. And so it did give him something. So your book is important because
Absolutely. People
do, they don't, there's nobody checking in. You got enough people trying to tell people what to do, trying to tell adults what to do. You better be him. You better do this. You better do that. But what about the actual plan? Now, what would you say is a highlight of your book in terms of its content that helps a person see things differently or acknowledge that they need to change, or what would you say as a highlight?
I would say all of the chapters are very real. You know, I was very, very real in my book in talking about my personal experiences. And in my book, it really does give you a chance to see yourself. And so all of the topics are, they relate to, I believe, all parents, self as a parent, you know, Are you trying to do things that your parent did or things that your parent did not do? Because I think so many times people say, oh, when I get older, I'm not going to treat my kids like this. I'm not going to do the same thing, you know, my mother or father do. And then you end up doing those same things, you know, whether you realize it, you know, or not. So I think the book in general is a great read, and I made it where it's something that you can always refer back to. So it's not a let me read it and just put it up. It's actually let me read it over and over again, and let me share it. Let me keep it on the coffee table. Let me keep it in my purse so I can always refer to it, because parenting is not about, oh, let me read it one time, and then I got this thing down, you know. Mm-hmm. So you really have to refer back to it. And I talk about so many topics, you know. One of my favorites that I talk about is not waiting until your kids are grown to build a relationship with them.
Mm.
And that's actually something I heard someone say. They said, oh, you know, when my daughter gets like 16, 17, I'll start building a relationship with her. You can't do that. You have to establish a relationship with your kids at a young age,
mm-hmm.
because you have to build that bond and build that trust up with them, you know. And so I love how I just dive into just real topics that I feel like most parents experience.
Mm.
So it's not related to one race, you know, one gender. It's all of us as parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look, if you want to talk to my girl, Anissa Hunter, you out there struggling with your child. Girl, y'all be out there struggling with our children, but that's because you're not talking to them. It's a reason why Charlie Brown, if you old enough to know Charlie Brown, the only adult in the whole jam, this is how she talk. Wah, 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 wah. That's how we sound.
Right, absolutely.
That's how we sound, and I think, you know, we have some skewed viewpoints because I hear adults say things like, I don't want to be my child friend. I ain't here to be your friend. Well, let me read you the definition of friend real quick, y'all. It says, a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. A person who gives assistance. A person who is on good terms with another. A person who is not hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I don't know about you, but I'm my daughter friend all day.
Right.
You just don't want to be their peer. That's
right.
What you mean.
There we go. That's the correct word.
That's all. You're not their peer. I got it. Yeah. You're not wearing the same clothes and trying to rap and trying to get high. I agree. I'm not her peer. There's a certain I don't need my daughter to respect me, but I do want her to revere me.
Yeah.
Revere me. But if you want somebody to respect or revere you, you need to be respectful of yourself.
Absolutely.
And if you're beating people up, particularly little people, you need to reevaluate, like, your beingness. And I remember my mama. I remember looking up to the way she carried herself as a woman, because she was heavy set, but baby, them clothes was always flowing.
Yeah.
When the wind blew, I mean, it was, we called it mommy material. It wasn't number rayon, but we ain't know. We were just like, ooh. Mommy
right.
material, right? But she just
right.
was representing herself well as a woman. And I think for myself as a mom, whatever, I have a line in my parental code of ethics that says, I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself.
I love that.
Look.
I love that.
What we doing? You
yeah.
got to represent it. And so how do y'all children feel about the writing of the book? Because you said they're grown. So how do they feel about the fact that their mama wrote a book and its content?
They love it. They love it. They felt as though I made awesome points. They felt as though it was true.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't sugarcoated. You know, it was definitely there to help. Can I just say something on what you just said?
Go ahead, baby. What? This show. Go ahead.
I have a chapter in my book that goes with what you just said, and it's called Do As I Say, Not As I Do. That is one of the worst things, because it's like, of course they're going to do what you say and what you do. So it's like, if you don't want your kids doing certain things or saying certain things, don't do it around them. And then maybe you should stop doing it if you don't want them to see it or hear it or replicate it.
And
you know, I love it when you just said that. So
girl,
that's one of my chapters. I do not like that saying, do as I say, not as I do. You know, it's like, of course, as parents, we're going to do certain things that they shouldn't be doing. But our whole well-being should not be, okay, I know you saw me do that, but don't you do that. I know you saw me say that, but don't you do that. Okay, lie to the bill collector and say, I'm not here, but I don't want you lying. You know, so it's like, can't do that.
Yep. Girl, I remember I was on a bus one day, and I approach people on the street. I'm not afraid of my people. So we on the bus, and the kids in the back of the bus. This is in New York, and they're in the back of the bus, on the back of the bus, cursing and stuff, and blah blah blah. So I get up, my daughter with me. She probably like 6 or 7 at the time. I think 7. And I get up, and I go over to them, and I don't see. I'm not the. You better be quiet. Whatever. I just said to them, yo. If I had a job for you all right now, would I give it to you? And maybe they, you know, whatever. And then I quieted them. Y'all need to stop the cursing or whatever. So when I went to sit back next to my daughter, this is what she said with her little 6 or 7-year-old self. She said, you a hypocrite. I said, look over there. I said, what you talking about? She said, you a hypocrite. She said, you be cursing. I said, oh, dang. Like, little mama. Look, what, and see, some adults want to say they being fresh. They talking back. No, they not. No, they not. They holding you accountable. You out here trying to set a tone, but when you behind closed doors in front of this little girl, now you cursing her. Now, she's 20 now. So when I hear her curse, I don't trip because blah. But sometimes I will say something about it, and she goes, you're a terrible mom.
Oh.
You're just terrible. And I'll be like, oh, God. And so we laugh and stuff. But she make it clear, yo, I'm doing what I saw. Like, what you talking about? So, yeah, we just have to be aware. It's not to say you got to be walking on eggshells and perfect. Perfection is a thing if you want to be. But it just means don't be contradictory.
Absolutely.
Don't be a hypocrite. And like you said, your kids love it. They said it's real. Them watching you, actually, believe it or not, I don't know if it'll occur, but they end up writing books about their viewpoints because they saw you do it and saw you do it well. And it's kind of like they don't, even if they don't express it, they're watching and they're seeing the possibility. So your impact, the impact of your book, it's creating a ripple effect, even if you don't know.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know. And my thing, do you have a website?
I do, but I have a baking business as well, so my website is catered to that.
Okay. What do you want? Where can they get your book?
Sure, they can get it on Amazon, Kindle, and Noble Books.
Okay. So y'all see the title there. Kids don't come with a manual. And so you can get it on Amazon, like you said, Kindle. There ain't no Kindle. Kindle. Ain't no, don't go to Kimball. I don't know what that is. Girl, you might find some popcorn, some socks. But yes, but you can go to Kindle. You can go to Amazon. And what was the last one?
And Noble Books. Look at follow me on my Instagram page, and they can order a book if they want a signed copy that way as well.
Perfect. What what's your name on Facebook?
Anissa Hunter.
It is. I was looking for you so much. I was like, where you at?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but good. Anissa Hunter, you guys, look her up. Get this book, Kids Don't Come With a Manual. If you are in the South Shore area, you can get it from Sensei Boba Tea Bar. That's on Exchange and 72nd. And my goal as the Soul Chicago book fair, because y'all know, if you want to meet her in person, somebody may say, oh, she's cute, isn't it? I mean, she's going to be at the Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair on April 20th. So make sure you come out. There are going to be book signings there by all the authors. You'll be in the nonfiction section, and we're doing that thing. This is where I believe if you, I said earlier I'm a Scientologist, but one of the things that L. Ron Hubbard said, he said, if you see a problem, look at what you didn't do and know why it's a problem. So I can't sit here and be like, nobody represents Black writers. Nobody yet. Do it. And so here we are 8 years later, and we're doing our thing. So thank you so much, Anissa, for being here today. We're going to get this rolling some more. Like I told William, you mine now.
I know that's right. I'll give you.
And we're going to keep this rolling. We're going to come back, you guys, for our final author. We're going to go to a commercial break. But get that title right there, Kids Don't Come With the Manual, and get your book from Anissa Hunter. We will be back right
after these messages.
Soulful Chicago Book Fairs are the most exciting Black book fairs on the planet. Born in July of 2016, Soulful Chicago Book Fairs have both increased the literary marketplace for Black writers and given lovers of Black literature places to find books about the Black experience the world over. The main summer book fair stretches four city blocks on 61st Street between Cottage Grove and King Drive. Each block is characterized by its own genre, donning the works of fiction authors, nonfiction authors, and children's authors. The day begins with a procession of elders atop a float, demonstrating the book fair's honoring of community elders. The entertainment of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair has been second to none. Audiences travel to a Grammy-level stage, which has featured musical artists such as Eric Robertson, and many of Chicago's multicultural talents. The book fair's community stage sits equidistant from either end and showcases puppet shows, open mic sessions, and author talks for festival goers to enjoy. Aspiring authors have enjoyed the Soulful Chicago Book Fair's lineup of helpful workshops on publishing, writing for children, and legalities of the publishing industry and more. From its exhibitors to its entertainment, its workshops to its overall power, Soulful Chicago Book Fair continues to breathe literary life and prosperity into the south side of Chicago for decades to come.
Vote and Punch, 148 for Miss Attorney Wendy Williams. Dear residents of Chicago, Cook County, with great excitement I announce that I am your candidate for full circuit Cook County Judge for this Democratic primary, March 19, 2024. As a seasoned lawyer, I am a proud native of Chicago, Cook County, a product of Longwood Academy of Our Lady, Olive Harvey Chicago City College, Roosevelt University, and the University of Denver College of Law. With over 25 years of experience in criminal and civil matters, that equips me to handle the challenges that come with the role of full circuit Cook County judge. I am dedicated to ensuring that as a judge, all individuals are treated with fairness and consideration. Many community members and colleagues who trust my legal insight and intuition have recommended me for legal work and recruited me for pro bono work and community service programs. They know I listen. Humbly and respectfully, I ask for your support. Thank you. Now share with neighbors, family, and friends. Punch 148. Elect Democratic candidate Miss Wendy Williams for judge March 19, 2024. Paid for by Wendy Williams for Judge, I am Wendy Williams, and I approve of this message.
All right. Look at that sun coming on me. Ooh, baby, it's a good old day here in Chicago. You're tuned in to Gathering of the Griots with Asada. But I'm here to bring up my last guest, baby. Y'all saw that cover. Oh, Lord, it looked juicy. I was like, is this nonfiction or fiction? I don't know, but we going to see. She said nonfiction, but we going to vibe with it today. What's up, Nevaeh Rose? Did I say that right? Did I say that right? Nevaeh Rose. Look, Nevaeh Rose. Y'all don't get it twisted. Look at,
right?
You're looking good, girl. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Will. Trying to be a reflection of you. So we both New Yorkers, so don't get it twisted. It might be a lot of energy on this screen.
I know, right?
But I'm going to let you be the New York queen today. So tell us, Nevaeh Rose, about this book because, honey, hold on. Look, let me show it. Boom. Let me bring it to the stage. Tell us about this book. And I think I want to first hear, how did you find out about the Soul Food Chicago Book Fair?
My book's been out, for a while, so I haven't really been applying myself. So, I wanted to, apply for some book fest. And then I saw this Soul Food Black, basically Black people. So, I'm just being real.
Be real with it.
Yes, and I was like, I don't mind, so I applied for it, and you sent me. Okay, and I was like, okay, well, I'm here, so yeah.
Very good.
I found it online, Googling it, researching it, and I found it, and
cool.
I was,
yes. No mistake, y'all.
That's
going to be your first? Uh-oh. Don't get me started on the stage. Be like, we're going to bring up the Virgin Love, everybody that this your first book fest, blah, blah, blah. So
yeah.
Now tell us, how long has the book been out, and don't you worry about, let me tell you, my book been out for 10, 12 years, I think. So this whole piece about getting it out and asserting, it is what it is. You got it out your soul. That's the main thing. And then all the other stuff is out. You find people like myself and others that's going to help push you where you need to go. Because she coming, y'all, from New York to the Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair. Don't get it twisted. So tell us a little bit about that book because that jam, that cover looked for real. Wait, look.
Yes,
talk about it.
That's how I was feeling, I felt like we was drowning in our deadly sins. So, I got a lot of backlash from it. A lot of people didn't like the cover, but, that's my project, so I chose it like I wanted it to be. And it's really, my book is, to keep, to help families, grow together rather than apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these nine sisters was doing. We grew apart. And I was trying, I tried to find the reason why all of that happened, and that was the whole purpose of me writing the book.
Wait a minute, baby. Whoever ain't like the cover, it ain't about them. Bye.
Yes, that's how I felt. I felt and then on top of that, you can't judge the book by its cover because it's messages in it, a whole lot of messages. And
mm-hmm.
I learned from my book, I grew from my book. Once I finished that book, I was a different person. Mm. I healed from it and everything.
Nice, because you confronted it.
People be
hiding and not confronting what they put out here in the world, and that's just a problem. And so, I applaud you for confronting what it was. But tell us a little bit about it. Don't tell me the whole book, because y'all gotta come to the event and get the book. But don't tell it all. But what's the main vibe of it? What is it dealing with? What issue is it dealing with?
Well, the issue is dealing with, it's a lot of issues. but the main issue is basically, the trauma as kids, and the trauma caused us as adults to be this, these evil, individuals. Honestly, that's just what I called it. Some of us grew from it, but some of us didn't. So we did a lot of bad things growing up just because of our life was, bad. And
mm-hmm.
It sure wasn't we wasn't fortunate like the rest. So it was we did a lot of things to get ahead, I could say, and to me, I use the seven deadly sins as my book. So
I see.
So that's the main thing that's going on in my book, the seven deadly sins. We use the seven deadly sins to get ahead.
I ain't never heard that. She said we use the seven deadly sins to get ahead. That sounds titillating, you know. And so, I mean, the book just looks intriguing. It just does. I don't care. Look, let me tell you something. When you're doing God's work, you don't even know where that's coming from. Like, who drew this? Who made this up? And what is that cover about? I want to look at it close. Just break it on down. Let me try to make it big. I'm putting it up here, girl, on the screen.
Okay, so, like, I really feel like the curse was, you know, hereditary to me. Like, so, it was passed down to us. And in order to break that curse, you know, somebody has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, basically, this is us in the fire. Mm-hmm. And we, like, actually, like, living for the devil. Basically, and you know, some of us, you see some of the heads is up, some of them is probably all the way down in there, because that's just basically how our family is right now.
Yo, the cover's cold. Let me tell you something. People do need to judge a book by its cover, because sometimes people's covers be whack, and if the cover whack, you ain't getting it. Now, we're not doing it, but that cover right there, that's why I was like, is this real? Is it? But you said, my girl said, that's us in the fire.
It does.
What? She gonna say that?
I'm trying to get them out the fire. So basically, I feel like, you know, I'm one of the ones, you know, it's open-minded. After, you know, I wrote my book, I started seeing it for what it was. And, like, so now I'm, like, one of the ones that's trying to help my other sisters, you know what I'm saying, uplift them about the fire as well.
Mm.
And not just only my sisters, because there's other families that's going through that as well. But, you know, some people try to sweep things under the rug or keep it behind closed doors. I did it long enough, and my book tells it all.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it is.
Yeah, let me tell you something. And this is what I said before. Your book ain't about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously about you, but people live through that. They are reading the book so they can identify, yo, how do I handle this? I thought I was the only person going through this, right? But then here comes your book with something similar, and they can look at you and say, dag, I can do this. I need to tell my story.
Exactly.
That we're here to inspire others, and you can't be everywhere at every time. And so your book can, though. Your book can be there. So what made you just sit down, though, and confront this and get it out?
I was going through a lot at that time, and I was an angry one. I was one of the bad ones. And I would have been either in jail or dead. And I had to sit back here and really, you know, reevaluate myself and see what was the problem and what was the causes. And a lot of it was my dark secrets or the stuff that I held inside. And it was making me angry, and it was making me take it out on other people that didn't deserve it. So, you know, I prayed to God. I was like, you know, I need to find a way or whatever. I slept on it. And in my dream, God came to me, or somebody came to me and was like, do what you love. And I love writing. I write poetry and stuff like that. And he was like, do what you love and express that. You know, express yourself through your writing. And that's what I started. I started from there.
Don't y'all get it twisted now. You better take notes. Because it really, I'm telling you, when you write, particularly if you're writing about yourself, that vulnerability, you got to be ready. Like she said, you said in the beginning, I got backlash. Who you got backlash from?
Well, actually, first of all, my mother, because my mother was a Christian, you know, a Christian. May she rest in peace. She passed away like 4 years ago. But she didn't like it because she's into God, and she just felt like it was just so much of the devil. So she was one of the ones, but I explained it to her, and she got over it eventually. And a couple of other people, like when I go and sell my book, and they're like, oh, did you, yeah, it's worshiping the devil or anything like that. And I'm looking like, yes, it is like worshiping the devil, but it is evil stuff in there. Like, you know, it's like a lot of, you know, bad things. I'm sure I don't want to go deep into it or whatever like that, but it was a few people that crossed my book that thought it was like dealing with just nothing but the devil. And I said, no, it's a message. I said, it's not just dealing with evil and all of that. It have many of messages behind it.
And now, here's the deal. I don't even fully know you, but it's obvious it ain't about no devil worship or that. Like, stop it. I think sometimes, you know, people like to inject their fear into you and the afraid feeling that they have about coming out to deal with their ills is a thing. And so trying to stop you from doing it, boy, get out of here. So, but they are in their heart, honestly, those people end up being proud of you, especially if you famous, you get famous. They go, I know how I grow up, but the book does not give you that energy at all. When I look at it, it looks intriguing. I need to know, what are you talking about in this? Now, when we deal with the seven deadly sins in our community, and first of all, black folks, y'all stop playing. Stop playing like we don't subscribe to the seven deadly sins in our community. You could tell we do, because we kill each other, we urinate in our elevators, we fight.
Greed is like one of the number one things.
Greed, absolutely. And so what made you use that as sort of a template? Because it does encase everything nicely. Like, look, seven deadly sins. Don't nobody not know what that means. We know what that means. But what do you mean when you say greed was one of the main focuses?
Because, as our family, we grew up, unfortunately. Like, we didn't have money and we struggled. As you from New York, so, you know, like, if your parents is not, you know what I'm saying? Then my mother was single, so she was single with non-girls, you know. So I say greed is because as we started getting older, and when I say older, we had to get older at a young age. So it was 12 to 14. We started wanting things that other kids had. And so we went out there and got it. And we actually seeked it through, like, older men and, you know, selling drugs and, you know, like, just, you know, trying to get that money. And the money made us even more, like, evil to me. It was like, because we started feeling like we was better than the other sister because we was doing this or, you know, like, so it was like greed that really, you know, or if somebody is doing more than the other sister, they want to try to bring that sister down or, you know, they not sticking by that sister. Or, you know, it just was like a whole lot of, like, the money is the root of all evil. And I feel like greed and lust was our two top.
I already know. Go get it twisted. What? What? Because
yeah.
I know I knew about sex too early.
Yes.
And I know at some I'm going to confront some of those issues, but I'm going to read this comment. Tiffany Green said, yes, publishing about yourself takes guts. I'm not explaining anything to anyone, period. Tiffany said, she ain't explaining jack to nobody. With her. She put the TTT on the period.
Wow.
But, yeah, it does take that. And she also said to you, congrats on your book. Thank you, Tiffany. We love you, girl. Thanks for tuning in. This whole, you know, Seven Deadly Sins puts it nice and clean, and we can get the concept. One of the issues I want to deal with, and I don't know if you deal in it with your book, but something you said made me think of it. I really don't really know a black woman that hasn't been molested. I don't know hardly any. That jam is too prevalent in our community, and it makes us very fast, very early, because we're getting exposed to sexual things that we just shouldn't know about. Do you feel you focused on, or had, because you said the word lust, do you feel like you touched on that topic, something similar?
I definitely touched on molestation because it happened throughout our life. So, yes, that was definitely, like, one of the ones. And it was, like, family involved. You get what I'm saying? And
always.
Everybody, like, shut down. They keep their mouth closed because they try to protect certain people. And I felt like that was the wrong thing. So I let it really, really out. And but what I can't say is that it made me mad, because really didn't like men. I was like kind of like, you know, for that reason, it made me want to tease them and make them mad. Like, I mean, honestly, that's what I did for a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying it for my other sisters. That was just for me. I felt, you know, I was bitter, you know, towards men, and not having a father really helped me, you know, push that through. So I actually kind of used them mm-hmm. to get what I want, and I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and now I'm letting it out because, you know, I'm not doing that now, but that's what I did growing up.
Sure. Yo, that topic got to be dealt with, and a lot of people yes. don't want to touch it because of what you said. They feel it's going to incriminate people, right? Because
yes.
it is. Because you was doing that to children in your family.
Exactly.
And then you got sometimes the mothers know it, but then don't want to confront that evil. That wasn't my situation. My situation is that they just didn't know. They found out way, way later, but it manifests so many different ways in different people. Some sisters go in and through to be happening to them tooth in, and they don't talk. Some people, like you said, I'm going to take advantage of you. Some people make us more promiscuous, but it is an area in our lives as a people that has to be addressed, because that healing is not going to happen if we don't. That's hard to talk. What?
It's definitely not, really. Like, I really, like, I'm to you, honestly, in 2018, that's when I just say I healed. Like, basically, as I finished my book and published it, I felt like so much weight was off of me. I let everything out. And I've been actually, like, evolving from there. I've been doing great with my attitude and, you know, working on myself and stuff like that.
That's what I'm talking about. Y'all, don't be afraid. Look. You got a book you can read with somebody you can refer to talk about their process going through it. I ain't make my book yet. I don't even know what I'm going to call it. But I am going to confront it, because my first book, Beating Black Kids, actually overlaps into that a little bit. Because when you're hitting kids, you are violating their bodies. And in my book, it comes up, one girl that did, because my book has different stories in it, but she talked about how because she got beat, it actually made her more promiscuous, because she felt like people could do what they want with my body. Don't nobody respect my body. And I was like, whoa, like you don't even really think about it like that, but like a feeling as a result. And now she's a big, known, published author. The thing is this, right, but, you know, so people have their ways of overcoming and coming through. But, man, when you actually take the reins like you did and come up with the story, y'all don't know how that story is going to be therapeutic for a person on that, or cathartic, or the, you know, they thought they were the only one, and they want to hear the success of you. Now, you said your book came out in 2018, right?
Yes.
What would you say this process has been like? Like, from the beginning of it coming out to this point, what has that experience been like for you as the author of this book?
Well, I actually, it made me, like, be, like, more, like, comfortable, like, opening up and trying to sell my book, because I know, you know, that's the way of me making money. But it's actually been hard because, you know, maybe I need a little, you know, assistance or somebody that's been there and stuff like that. But it's been hard for me. Maybe I think because I was out of the country for a little bit and I was traveling and I was, you know, doing other things, and I didn't make this as important as it's supposed to be. So now I'm, you know, I'm putting it front right now. So, yes. I think I really, like, was doing other things and I had other, and I had other things going on, and I just didn't, you know, take my time out to really, like, put my book first. I did it, and I felt like it was a healing process, and, you know, like, I was gone, and it was, like, not making that much money. I was selling it more in person. I sell my books more in person.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's, like, me is, like, yeah. So it's, it was a work in progress.
Look, when you see me go like this, This means you mine now, baby. Oh no, you mine now, baby. You got a literary family. That is what I'm about. You understand? I'm not into like the Soulful Chicago Book Fair is dope. It's an event. You come, you set up, you sell books. But it ain't that. It ripples into all these other connections and networking and, like, you know, people are getting, and I know you dropped out. She's going to be back, y'all. But, okay, good. Let me bring you back to the stage. So, you know, people know about you now. You could take this show. You're going to be able to take this link and spread it. My goal is to make you shine. That's what I'm into. You're not
and
by yourself. You already know. That's gonna be our symbol. Because I'm an author, and so when I do my work, it really was like, what do authors need? What do they like? Right? And that's what I'm here for, to help you build. Now, do you have a website? Where can they get your book?
Well, my website is really my portfolio route. Right now, but it's NaveahRose100.wixsite.com.
Okay.
Right. But
okay.
That's a portfolio. My, you know, I haven't really gotten, you know, I'm trying to fix it up and finish it up and all of that stuff like that.
Okay.
So, but me personally, DM me, NaveahRose, on Facebook. And I do the orders myself or Amazon. Barnes & Noble, and Off the House.
Nice. So y'all see the title. Nine Sisters Cursed Since Birth. Amazon. You said Barnes & Noble. All that.
And Off the House.
And Off the House. So y'all know you can get it on that, but you know you could get it in Chicago, baby. Boop, boop.
Exactly.
April 20th.
Wow, so
I'm going to make her move here. Y'all playing. I'm going to make her move here because New York is all right, but Chicago is fabulous. And I feel.
But actually, I don't live in New York.
Oh,
I'm in North Carolina right now.
Oh, you're in North Carolina, girl. You're getting ready to leave there, girl. That's on them.
Yeah.
We love you, North Carolina. Get on out of here, girl. We no more, girl, no more chickens. Get on out of here. Come on to Chicago. We got a big old lake, girl. We can go on a boat ride. And I just you know, I find the brothers to be, it's like a candy store to me. I think it's fabulous. They have all kind of backgrounds. It's all kind of people here. So, yeah, you're going to have, I'm telling you, honey, that's a show. I got my best love is in this. Go with them no more. But, woo, what a great story. So
I'm definitely trying to get some love out here. So, yes.
Awesome.
I'm definitely going to be out there. Come show Nevaeh,
throw
some love.
Nice. Come show us some love. Thank you for being here today. You guys, our time is up. We about to end the show. Gathering of the Griots, but we'll be here next Tuesday with our children's writers. So we're going to get into that. Thank you, my girl, my fellow New York sister. I'll see you on April 20th. And you guys, stay tuned. We're about to end. You know how we end when it comes to the female solution. We reach out to the whole world. So we love you. Thank you, sis, for being here. All right.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Jerez. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Vote and Punch, 148 for Miss Attorney Wendy Williams. Dear residents of Chicago, Cook County, with great excitement, I announce that I am your candidate for full circuit Cook County Judge for this Democratic primary, March 19th, 2024. As a seasoned lawyer, I am a proud native of Chicago, Cook County, a product of Longwood Academy of Our Lady, Olive Harvey Chicago City College, Roosevelt University, and the University of Denver College of Law. With over 25 years of experience in criminal and civil matters, that equips me to handle the challenges that come with the role of full circuit Cook County judge. I am dedicated to ensuring that as a judge, all individuals are treated with fairness and consideration. Many community members and colleagues who trust my legal insight and intuition have recommended me for legal work and recruited me for pro bono work and community service programs. They know I listen. Humbly and respectfully, I ask for your support. Thank you. Now share with neighbors, family, and friends. Punch 148. Elect Democratic candidate Miss Wendy Williams for judge March 19th, 2024. Paid for by Wendy Williams for judge. I am Wendy Williams, and I approve of this message.